Welcome to the UN podcast. It's about you. This is your host, Caitlin DeBeer. I'm a life coach, speaker, psychology lecturer, and a mum of two littles. And I'm here to inspire you with self-management tips, secrets, interviews, and tricks around loving yourself, loving your life, yep, even the mums, and ultimately to motivate you to want to wake up every morning and live your beautiful life. Over to today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome to episode number 20. I can't believe we're there already. It's strange. I'm sitting in my office and I feel this like strange feeling of almost emotion that it's come this far already. And when designing this specific episode, I wanted it to be something that was almost what's closest to my heart in this season of life right now. And being number 20, I thought that's really significant, and I want this one to be significant. So I hope you find it that way. I hope that this speaks to you and that you learn the importance of being kind to yourself and what a kinder you would look like. Enjoy, guys. So, in one of my favorite books, which is Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert, I'm sure you've watched the movie if you haven't actually read the book, but in one instance, she speaks of this moment when she was rushing somewhere in New York and she saw herself in a mirror. And she was so busy rushing that she like smiled at the person, obviously not registering it to herself, and then obviously sort of backtracked and she was like, oh, that's me. And what she said in reflecting on it is that her thinking was almost like, I know her, she's my friend. And it's so funny because I had a similar episode to this a couple years back where I was a same idea except in a mall and rushing and totally didn't expect. I was in a clothing shop, didn't expect that there was a mirror. I obviously thought the store had continued, and then saw myself. And I smiled, and the person smiled. I was sort of in the distance, and I waved, only to walk a bit closer and realize I'd just waved at myself. In the moment, super embarrassing, kind of look around, oh my goodness, you know. But same as what Elizabeth speaks of, I love that idea of recognizing yourself as a friend. And just take that in for a moment of what it would feel like if you treated yourself as if you were your own friend. I think so many of us will wake up and look in the mirror and immediately see, you know, 30 faults, and then we'll have a conversation and, you know, think, why did I say that? And go somewhere and drop the kids at school and wish we were skinny like whoever, or drove a car like whoever, or... And so the day goes on of this constant critical mindset when it comes to ourselves. 90% of the time, when it comes to loving yourself or being kind to yourself, it starts in your headspace. It starts with this idea that I am not your friend. I am your biggest critic. And I know it's often said, you know, you are your own worst enemy, but it couldn't be more true for so many people. I know for me, as a very strong A personality type, and so many of my clients, almost a huge amount, probably 80% of my clients tend to be A type personalities. And I think it's because they come to me not to be fixed, but to be understood and to learn to understand themselves as I've tried to do with myself and my personality. And A types, for those who don't know sort of the definitions, we tend to be very hard on ourselves. We are the type of analytical type thinkers. We tend to be more critical, very hard workers, sort of very task orientated. We enjoy lists and ticking things off, and can almost get lost in work and maybe forget a bit of life. And as I say, can be quite difficult people, in that we get so caught up in being the best and doing the best and performing and sort of, as I say, ticking things off. And so this concept of kindness comes in, and being kind to yourself. And for an A type, my natural response to the idea of like, just be kinder to yourself is like, in other words, fail. Okay, that's my like inner voice would literally go there. Be like, so you mean like fail. Be like, be this like airy, fairy, floaty person. Not me, I get things done, you know, and there's this immediate resistance to the word, be kinder to yourself. Kinder to someone else, cool. Kinder to myself, no, not so much. And yet for me, this has been, sure, I'd say, yeah, one of the biggest parts of my growth in learning to accept myself, learning to love myself, learning to really thrive in my makeup, and in tune with that and in line with that, to manage myself and to be a better mom as well, and I think better at relationships too. And so what I thought I'd do today is to touch on 10 points in ways that we can be kinder to ourselves. So rather than this like airy-fairy notion of like, just be kinder, and your brain's going like, whatever, you know, that's not going to serve me. I thought I'd make this a bit more practical, and things that I've worked on, things that I've seen others work on or have worked with my clients on, and I'm really hoping we'll bring some insight for everyone and for me too. So the first one is self-talk, and I've spoken on this before in podcast episodes, but self-talk is basically the language that you speak inside your head. Okay, so we all have a language, and I once spoke at one of the corporates in Durban, and afterwards a guy came up to me and said, like, I don't have a language, you know, and what he was meaning is he thought that I was meaning like one of us speaks German in our heads and someone else French. You know, and I had to literally backtrack and be like, no, I'm so sorry, it's not a language, it's like a lingo. We've got words that we're just super familiar with, words that for you have become the way that you speak inside of your head. Now, as a woman, you spend up to 70% of your day in your head, and as a man, they say up to 50%, I suppose it would depend, person to person and also career. But if you were spending 70% of your day just with you, okay? And imagine that you were your friend, okay? So you're putting someone next to you and they were with you 70% of the day. And all day, they just drill you with criticism, okay? As we were speaking of earlier. So cutting you down, criticizing the way you look, personality stuff, why'd you do that again? Comments like this, 70% of the day. No doubt, your self-esteem is going to be a nightmare. And so where the kindness thing comes in here in terms of being kinder to yourself is take control of your headspace. Harvard University psychology department released a study a couple years back by a guy called Sean Acor, a psychologist. You can go look him up, he's phenomenal. But what they said was that 90% of what makes the average person happy is merely how you process things in your head. It's not the externals at all. And so when it comes to kindness, and being kind to yourself, this is going to start in your headspace. It's going to start with the simple question of, is this thought helpful? Is this thought helpful? And it's a question I ask myself, guys, all the time. I can literally stand in the mirror and look in the mirror, and I mean, no matter what your body looks like, you can always find fault. And I could notice something and, you know, maybe sort of feel a bit of emotion around it. And I'll immediately say to myself, is this helpful for me to think this way? Because this could become my whole journey. You know, a thought sort of becomes, it will evoke an emotion, and you might carry the emotion, and by the evening you're an idea to live with because of that one thought in the morning. And so I literally catch it in that moment and say, is this thought helpful? And if it's something where it's critical about my body or my face, you know, my pigmentation's really bad at the moment, I literally catch myself. I'm like, is it helpful to think this? No, definitely not. Okay, so let's change it up. I'm gorgeous. I love my life. I love everything I get to do in this body. Let's go. And I literally try to actually leave that thought behind. In other ways, what I try and say is that if you're thinking a thought that perhaps is very true for you, so maybe you look in the mirror and you're like, I'm so overweight. And it really is true. Maybe you really are overweight for your body type. Then instead of lingering on that thought and creating it into something bigger than it needs to be, rather take action. So move a thought into an action, which in your brain is literally like swapping sides of the brain. And so literally write on your cell phone, quick, go into your notes or into your calendar and say, phone the gym at 3 p.m. Okay, I'm going to book a contract. Or on your phone, say, email yoga teacher. Or message Jenny, we're going to walk the kids in our prams on Thursdays. Whatever it is, take action immediately. So even if it is, you could send the message or you could just put it in your phone. And then allow that moment to just dissipate. Allow that thought to just dissipate. You've done something with it, so you've taken action, and there's no, absolutely no benefit in now lingering on that thought. And this is literally what self-talk is. It's changing our thoughts just minute by minute. It's not this massive thing. It's not like you can change your whole way you speak to yourself in like one day. This is just practice. It's just catching those thoughts that do limit you and that hold you back and that are unkind. And either doing something action-wise with them, or if they're really just not helpful and really shouldn't be there, then catch it and replace it with a higher truth. A higher truth for me is this body is phenomenal and it allows me to live the most incredible life. I'm getting on with my day. And off I go. And I literally have replied it when I replaced it. When I say a higher truth, I just mean something else that's true, but it's almost more true than getting caught up on that. So that's number one. Number two, in terms of being kinder to yourself, and that's the eight types for love, is look after your body. Look after your body. When I say look after your body, being kind to yourself does not mean in any way become greedy and like eat everything in sight all afternoon. Or being kind to yourself doesn't mean that every day on the way back from the office you now deserve that little chucky because I'm being so kind to myself. That might not be kindness. It may, but it may also not. So find what works for you and make sure that you're actually caring for your physical body. So I love, in terms of speaking about my body, I love thinking of it in terms of raising my kids. So if I imagine Sarah's body, so Sarah's three, and that I have to look after this body, so like imagine almost your little friend, or for me, my little human, and how would I help her to care for her body? It's not like I'm not big on cutting out sugar and all that kind of stuff, as you probably know, and Sarah probably eats junk at some point every day, but in general, I try and get healthy meals into her where I can. I also try not to obsess. I try and get her active and in nature every day. And so this is being kind. This is helping her to live an active life where body is not the goal, but she's being kind to herself because she's getting in touch with her body. She's getting in touch with nature. She's releasing endorphins, which is so healthy for our brains and bodies. Dopamine levels go up, which is your happiness levels. So my second encouragement in terms of being kind to yourself is connect with your body again and make some decisions, whether that's in terms of diet. And guys, I'm not into diets, and I hope that you know this. Like, I don't diet. I'm sitting here with a big crunchy next to me as I record this and a cup of coffee, the third of the day. And I'm not into cutting things out. But if you do feel like you really do need to lose weight and you're carrying an unnecessarily large amount of weight, then go and see a dietitian and do it properly. Don't abuse your body with cutting out things or trying to fast until whatever time because you think it will, you know, trick your body into something. It probably isn't going to last, and that means you're not really being kind. So try to be kind to this process and kind to your body in that. Number three, I want to start with the story here. So I actually share this in my next podcast episode as well, but so I started yoga, goodness, about when we were living in Korea, so 5 years ago. At first, super wary of it, especially as a Christian. I was very unsure about it, and I'm sure I'm going to get messages after this. I'm very at ease, so please don't argue with me, but I'm very comfortable with doing yoga as a Christian. And I don't take part in chanting or anything I'm not aware of in that sense. But you're welcome to send me your views if you want to. But when I started yoga, I had this huge disconnect with my physical body. I think having been brought up as a runner or an athlete and doing a hell of a lot of sport and competing and, you know, taking it seriously and then bringing my A-type personality, and I found it very natural to be very hard on myself and very hard on my body too. So I could like beat my body into the ground, which shows why I was anorexic. I mean, it's literally doing that. But in terms of an exercise perspective, it was very much just a disconnect from my body. So I couldn't tell you if like my, I don't know, left glute was sore. It was kind of like my leg was sore. I didn't have this huge connect. I never put cream on my body. I've never sort of had that level of self-care. I've more just been the like, get on and go, shower for 2 seconds, get out, I still do that. And then get on with my day and barely even look in the mirror or acknowledge my body. And then I got to yoga, and one of the things they make you do in some yoga classes is that you'll lie on the floor and you'll put your hands on your ribs, and then they make you sort of feel your breathing. So, as you breathe, your ribs will expand and so on. And just that idea of putting my hands on my tummy was so foreign. Apart from like feeling for abs or fat, I had no concept of actually like touching my tummy in like a gentle, like breathing way. And so this continued. And in my first few months, I didn't do a lot of yoga overseas, but I got started getting into it. And then once I felt pregnant, that's when I really started properly doing it back here. But what they often say in poses is breathe into the pose. So like say you're sitting with your like legs, you know, wide open. That sounds horrendous. In like a, like put your soles of your feet together, which is really hard for me because I've got terrible hips. But say you're sitting like that, they'll say breathe into the pose, breathe into your hips. Now at first I'm like, what the hell? How does someone breathe into a hip? You know, my breathing's like up here somewhere. And it felt so odd. But obviously I tried, but I had no clue what I was doing. And over the years, I've really just journeyed with this. And I've learned to connect with my body in such a beautiful way. And pregnancy did this too, without a doubt, feeling movement inside of you and just journeying with the changes and so on. But yoga really has helped me. And I feel like it's been almost a gift from God for me to connect with my body and to love on that body. And so this is the third point, is connect with your body. Start touching your body. Again, not in funny ways. But I'm saying, you know, stand in front of the mirror and put cream on your body and actively engage. Look at your body. Recognize your body in a non-critical way. Actually, in a non-anything way. Just look at it. Just take it in. Connect with your breathing again. And as I say that, I'm like, oh, breathing too fast. But connect with your physical body. It is such a beautiful way of being kind to your body. And for me, as I say, probably one of my biggest things when it's come to being kind to myself has been just a reconnection, or maybe for the first time, connecting with my physical body and watching how that plays out in real life, and just how it's literally dissipated this criticalness that I had about myself, especially the physical, as I've connected with my physical body and learned to love every part of that. Number four, in terms of being kind to yourself, is give yourself room to dream. I find this one such a strange one. I think obviously dependent on your upbringing, but for the most part what I find is that teenagers find it quite easy to throw out these like radical dreams, especially later years of your teens, sort of 17, 18, 19. And I work, as you might know, I work in a local community here once a week, and I work with high school students, and I've seen this common thread between between all sort of social groups and races and age groups in terms of teens, is this desire to sort of be someone and throw out dreams in terms of success. And I love that. I love that it's so natural at that age. And then you hit your 20s and there's a little bit more of a reality check. And 20s are hard. I would say like one of the hardest stages of life. High school sucks, I think, for many. But yeah, 20s are hard. Hitting the working world, starting to pay for things, realizing what tax actually is, Lord help us. It can be really tough. And I think early 20s maybe still got some big dreams. By the time you hit your late 20s, you usually become this like almost pessimist. And I've seen it in so many people. And it's not a bad thing. It's, so maybe pessimist is the wrong word, but it's more like you become very just practical, maybe pragmatic in your approach of things. And you realize that you can't do it all, and that, maybe that dream was completely unrealistic. And it also sometimes starts holding you back to dream at all, because you realize how finances can limit you, or you realize how your, you know, studying or lack of studying can limit you, or children or whatever, but you throw in these limitations. And for me, I've obviously just entered my 30s now, and I'm giving myself permission to dream again. Whether those dreams will come true is not important, but it's kind to yourself to allow your brain to go there. Our imaginations need that space to grow and to be creative and to imagine that future. And so it's not unrealistic at all. So give yourself that space, whether it's on a walk that you give yourself that space, whether it's in the evenings when you lie in bed and maybe you can't sleep, that you just dream a little, that you sort of imagine a future. And what you'll probably find is if it's difficult at first, it will become easier. As you give yourself permission to dream, I have no doubt that dreams will start surfacing for you. Number five, slow down. I say this with like a sigh. Oh my word, guys, I'm like the fastest person at everything. My friends know all too well that I like speed into things. Most of the time I say I'm like in such a hurry, even though I'm not. And I run through shops sometimes. I quite literally run. And I have no problem doing it. But there's such a beautiful thing in slowing down and just connecting with you and your reality again. In my mom's course that I run, this online course, one of the first activities that we do together, well, as individuals, but in the course, is that it's like a self-reflection activity as to where you're at right now. And most of the moms benefit so much from it. And, you know, for a lot of them, it's almost like the biggest aha moment, I think, in the course, is just reconnecting with yourself again and giving yourself just a moment to slow down and just look in. And slowing down can also bring with it a lot of emotion, because this whole busy idea helps us to run and to not connect, and not just not connect with others, but not connect with ourselves. So slowing down can be really scary. And I'm definitely going to do an episode on the whole idea of like the quiet, the lonely, that sort of stage of society where we're at. My encouragement would be find a moment every day to slow down and just reconnect. So whether it's having tea outside in the afternoon, even if you have an office job, walk outside, take your cup of tea or water, whatever, and just literally 5 minutes, just slow down. Just breathe, look around, take things in, connect with you again, get back into your body again and out of your head, and the effects will be massive, I have no doubt. It's amazing how we can manage ourselves so much more effectively when we actually know where we're at and why we're there, rather than allowing one day to just flow into the next day. Which, if you've worked with me, you'll know I'm so big on with ending your day properly and not allowing it to flow into the next one. Okay, number 6. Now, I've spoken about this one before in an episode. I think it was episode number 2, but I'm a big believer in getting to know your makeup. I'm not a big believer. I think this is like key to happiness. It's probably like happiness secret number 1. Know yourself. You will forever be caught up in comparison if you don't know who you are, what makes you tick, and who you want to be. Who is that person? And maybe you don't even want to be that person, but you need to start being that person. Get in touch with the truest version of yourself. And there are so many ways to do this, guys. I know it can seem totally overwhelming. I've had times in my life where this has been the scariest thing ever. But there are so, so many tools that are out there, and I can help you without a doubt with stuff like that. I've got an online course that's a self-paced one, so you do it on your own and you don't connect with me per se. And it's called Thriving As Me under courses. But it will give you this opportunity to really connect with yourself, and I really encourage you to do this. This is a lifelong journey. It's not a quick thing. And I think we'll keep rediscovering parts of ourselves. But the more you know yourself, the absolute happier you will be. And when you know yourself, you can be kind to that person, because you know that Friday nights going out is an absolute no-go for you. And so you'll stop doing that. And that's kindness. It's also kindness to everyone else, because you're not a nightmare when you are around all of them, or bitch to your partner when you're back home. Knowing ourselves is amazing. I mean, even when it comes to exercise, if you can just know yourself and what works for you, exercise won't be as hard anymore. It's not so hard to get to something that you actually enjoy. And maybe at the beginning it's a bit uncomfortable, but in time, if it's something that you actually enjoy, so much easier to get there than to do something that you hate and you're doing because of society or, striving after something that was never true to you. So be true to you. Number 7, let go of regret. Let go of regret. I think I'm fortunate to be brought up in a family that didn't really get stuck in regrets ever. I don't ever remember my parents, or I don't ever, even now, hear my parents saying, like, I wish I had whatever'd. They're more like, I suppose, again, this A-type thing, just get on with life, you know, go for it. But perfectionists especially tend to hold on to regret. My biggest encouragement is if you are feeling like you do have regrets, is to try and go back to that moment, and you might need to see a therapist for something like this, but to go back to that moment and to try and bring a positive emotion back into that moment, and to try and take learnings from it and to almost relive it, but in as positive a way as possible, so that what you left with is a positive feeling about that experience rather than the regret that you're currently feeling. I totally get that everyone's stories are so different, and I'm not going to pretend that if I had your reality that I wouldn't be caught up in regret. I know how difficult some people's lives are and or how difficult it is for them. And we all treat things so differently and we wire it so differently. For me, I think with regret, I've definitely got things in my past that I haven't been proud of, or that I've totally messed up, moments that I've totally messed up. Even in work, I've got moments when I'm just like, why the hell did I say that in that moment? I feel like such an idiot. And for me, I think the biggest thing is I try to learn from things and become a better person based on that. And if I need closure, I try and get closure. So whether it's an apology or, whatever closure I needed. But the forgiving of myself has been so big, and just saying, you know, that moment was so important for me to know what I know now. And so I'm going to let it be. I'm just going to leave it as part of the past. And it still might hurt a little, but it was essential for me to become this person, i.e. I learned from it, I've grown from it, and that's a positive. Number 8, we're nearly there. Quit comparing. Such a beautiful way to be kind to yourself. Quit comparing. It sounds so much easier than it is, and I know I've probably brought this up a few times. I say it in my mum's course again and again. I say it in talks when I speak to mums. Choose your tribe wisely. Now, you've heard this before, this idea of choosing your tribe, I have no doubt. But in the past, where your tribe was your physical, you know, like group of friends or people you hang out with. Nowadays, I think we spend more time probably with our phones than we do with our friends. So in other words, the people that you are connecting with or making part of your tribe, i.e. the people that speak into your life, might be the people you follow on Instagram or the podcasts that you listen to, or the whatever antenatal group you go to, or your squash club. So choose your tribe wisely and be very careful who you choose to listen to. And when I say that, obviously I say it in as gentle a way as possible, but people's opinions have such a big influence on us. And it's not just their opinions, but we can so easily get caught up in looking at other people's lives. And if you find that you're doing this, celebrate more of you. Become that best version of you. So dig into you. The more you're comparing, dig into more of you and the good and the amazing things that make you you. And at the same time, I think try and distance yourself from whatever it is that's causing you to compare, even if it's just for a season, for that habit to break and for that to become less easy to get caught up in. Comparison, I think, is easiest to break when we're living in our sort of truest version of ourselves, because although you're not always happy, and I'm never going to pretend that I'm always happy, but the truer you are to yourself, the more sort of satisfied you feel in life, and the more satisfied you are, the less you feel the need to live someone else's life or have their body or car or home or whatever it is, kids. So I think getting in touch with yourself and digging into that is such a key way of escaping comparison and in turn being kind to yourself. Number 9, find your sweet spot. So by sweet spot, what I'm meaning is we need to find that space between where we recognize that we still need to grow, but we're also satisfied with where we're at right now. And I think especially for the A types, this might be the hardest one, because we usually get caught up in the where I want to be rather than being okay with this. And this has definitely been one of the hardest ways for me to be kind to myself, and definitely still very much part of my journey. But for me, finding that sweet spot is recognizing those dreams and where I want to be. And just every day, just being conscious of where I'm at right now and that this is reality. And trying to embrace the day. So naming what I'm grateful for. Really investing in the relationships that form part of my current reality, investing in the life, the time that I have available right now, the job that I have available, you know, everything that fits within my reality, to really try and invest in it and make it count, helps me to feel like this is working right now, even though I may want to be somewhere else in time or have dreams for a future. And the last one, in terms of being kind to yourself, is share that kindness with others. I know that no one can argue with the fact that when you're kind to someone else, it makes you feel so good about yourself. And in turn, obviously, makes them feel good about themselves. So turning your gaze outwards can be so healthy for also healing your relationship with yourself. Whether it's literally letting someone in a queue in front of you, or paying for someone's groceries, or, you know, not losing it with someone in the traffic, or visiting an old age home, or getting involved with an NGO, or being a good friend to someone who needed you, even if it was inconvenient for you. Whatever that is, being a listening ear for your kids or your partner, being kind goes such a long way. And it definitely, definitely will start reflecting on your level of love for yourself. Because I think as we love on others, as long as it's not like so selfless that you're sacrificing yourself, but I do believe that as we love on others, that it starts to build us up too, because there's no doubt that it produces this dopamine effect, that when you can't and they feel good, it makes you feel good, which is a knock-on effect for kindness. So by being kind to them, you're kind to you too. I hope this has been helpful. I've so enjoyed sharing these things, and I have no doubt that this is going to impact my life too, just having recognized all of this. Thank you for following me, guys. I so appreciate this. I can't believe I've made it to number 20 in terms of episodes already. What a gift. And I'm just loving this podcast space. If you've got friends that listen to podcasts, please share this space with them. I would love to increase my following and reach more people and just get this message of managing yourself and loving your life out to as many ears as possible, and hopefully impact lives positively. You're amazing, and you are so, so worth investing in. So continue to invest in yourself. Continue to look inward so that you can be a blessing to everyone out there. Love to you guys.